Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, and I have with me on the council today our blended family mothers, Tammy, Brittany, and Liz. Thanks for being here. I love it when we have a specialized council.
I know.
It's so great. Special.
Another badge, right?
Another badge. Yeah, sure. Council of Moms, we should give out badges of honor, right?
Because we only have like 9 million roles anyway.
Right.
Right. One more.
Council of Moms, we should have an award show. We should.
I love that.
Right? Wouldn't that be funny? Yeah. We should. Ooh, I'm going to do that.
Council of Moms. I'm the one that can't live without caffeine. I know.
Yeah. It's like just like a big, like, golden Stanley cup full of caffeine. Council of Moms, we assume the best so you can give us your worst.
Oh, I like that.
Do you like that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Council of Moms, talking about things that matter to women who get it.
Oh, like now that's good too.
It just feels in it. So I have a question for you specifically about blended families and how to make that work. And this one is a really vulnerable question. So here it is. Hey, moms, I would never tell my husband this, but watching him parent his kids is making me crazy. Let me just say that I love him and I love his kids and my kids love him. But just between us, there are some times when he's disciplining or his version of it. Anyway, I don't think his kids really care about his consequences. And I just have to leave the room. It's painful to watch, and I know he doesn't need me to be his mother and tell him how to parent, because that's not good for our relationship either. And I know how arrogant this sounds, but I don't know what to do. I'm cringing all the time, and I don't know how to stop judging. I don't want our marriage to suffer. How do you maintain a healthy relationship with your spouse when the transition is burning you out? So this is about parenting and your marriage. With that, I'd love to know what you guys think. When do you step in? When do you don't? How do you maintain this?
I'm going to say
Brittany, I can tell you're
dying.
Brittany looks like she's ready to explode.
She's going to burst.
I'm like, I don't want to say. I actually love this question so much because it's so real and most people wouldn't dare ask the question. So I just have to start with that. That I love people who are real and I love that. It's just like, let's just say all the real feelings. So first of all, this is one of those feelings, like acknowledging it is huge. And second, like if we don't give it attention or like some kind of intentional effort, it will start to eat away at your marriage. So it's a really, really good question to be asking, like, well, how do I handle this? Because I feel cringy and that will affect your relationship with your husband. I think a really important mindset shift is like, I don't want to be the critic, but I do want to be a teammate to my husband.
Okay.
So if this is...
So that's an important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't want to be the critic, but I do want to be a teammate. So if it's bugging you that much, I think it might be worth at least having a little conversation. It could go something like this, like, hey, I noticed that when you took away the Xbox from your son, he didn't really seem to care. Do you think there's something else that might be more effective for him? And just like opening the conversation, because he may not even realize, right? And that's what, just because you're in a blended family doesn't mean you have to bite your tongue and like sit back and watch. You can still have opinions and you can still have a say in what things do, but you might approach it a little bit differently. So
you're so nice. I don't think I approached it from, nicely.
I've learned from experience.
We'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah, I've done it all the wrong ways. That's why I know. but that's probably where I would start. And then it's also another, like, is this just my personal opinion getting in the way? Or is this like an actual like safety concern or something of that nature? Because if it is that, I definitely need to be speaking up. But if it's just like my personal preference and I would wish he would handle it this way instead, then that's a me thing, right?
Which I think is 99% of it. It's
really?
A
most
thing.
Of the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just like, I just prefer to do it this way. Not necessarily there's a right way or a wrong way. Is that what you mean? Yeah,
and like Brittany said, unless death is on the line,
yeah,
for me, I don't really step in because I learned early on in my marriage, like, oh, this is a thing. And this will be a thing for the rest of our marriage if I can't let it go. And so for me, I had to compartmentalize where, like, I kind of feel like sometimes it's like his job. Like, I don't tell him how to do his job. When he goes to work every day, that's it. And I don't get to have an opinion on how he does his job that he has a master's degree in computers when I can barely turn on my computer. So he's had a lot more years with that computer and a tech and knows how to work it. And so how I'm going to parent is so different than how he parents. And everybody knows that. Blend in families, again, it makes everything magnified a little bit more difficult. But for me, that's how I've learned to compartmentalize is I just, unless death is on the line, it's not, for me, it's not worth the fight because we would fight every single day of our marriage. If I felt like I needed to voice how I felt about the, we'd do it every day. And it just got exhausting the first couple months of our marriage. And I was frustrated all the time. I feel like for us, it's, and in a blended family, it's a revolving, consistent, you just have to learn. I love what Brittany said. Like as a person, you have to learn how to manage it. And some, I think for me, it's just not, it, for us, it's turned out great. It really didn't matter in the end. Everyone's so far, so knock on wood, they're all doing fine. And they've been parented by two different parents, but in the end, they're great kids. They contribute to the community. They're lovely, they're kind, and we didn't ruin them. So, I think we would have if we fought about it all the time. Because it would have ruined our marriage.
Can you give me an example of something that like really bugged you about the way that your spouse disciplined and something that you were like, no, it's worth it to let go? Like, just give me an example.
Which day?
I don't know.
I mean, just happened last weekend. I mean, seriously, it's all the time.
Tell me, like, really.
I'll give you an example.
Go ahead.
That's, like, really common, I think, in families.
Okay.
And for us, that was screen time. And I might have talked about this before, but one of us is more lenient. One of us wants to be a little more rigid about the amount of screen time. And
I can't imagine which one you are, Brittany.
Yeah. I won.
Take a wild guess. But I actually learned this is so important that you get aligned on the values. It's not about like the nitpicky rules, but it's like, do we have the same vision? Do we like whatever our values are, honesty, kindness, whatever. Does screen time fall in any of that anywhere? Okay. Not really. So I can let that one go. So what we ended up doing is we kind of found a place in the middle. And in my brain at the moment was like, this is going to be a disaster. And it's going to be blah, 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 like thinking of all the extreme situations. And turns out nothing really changed that much. My kids were fine. So I hate to admit that.
Yeah, totally.
Liz, how do you experience this right now?
Okay, so like I agree with them on like fundamental levels, but I also like view things just a little bit differently where I see especially single dads, Disneyland parent a little bit. And then when you come into the picture and you add all the structure, you're just kind of like, let's rein that in.
Not and everybody knows what that like Disneyland dad like mentality is. Yeah. Explain it just a little bit. Yeah.
So Disneyland parenting is like, because you feel so guilty that your children went through something so difficult, like whether it's a divorce or a death, you say yes to a lot of things because they went through this really hard thing, right? And that period can last a year. It could last multiple.
It could last their whole life.
It could be their whole life.
Oh, yeah, their whole life.
Yeah,
it's forever.
The guilt, right?
Mm-hmm. The survivor's guilt, too. And I couldn't protect you from your parent dying, so I don't want you to experience anything bad.
Any else that's like, that's almost snow plowing, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that another one? Snowplow parent where they like,
tried
to like.
Yeah, I just did an interview on the Lisa show about that very thing. Yep.
Yes. Yep. Where they tried to like, you know.
Yep. Remove all the obstacles.
Things, mm-hmm. Yeah, get all the hard things out of the way so they don't have to do anything hard anymore because they already did hard. It is really hard to bite your tongue. I didn't. That's why.
What
I
did
like,
you do?
Well, my spouse is great, and he acknowledged, like, we had the hard conversation, and I was like, I know, I think you feel guilty that Melinda died, and that And you're probably saying yes to things that you normally wouldn't have said yes to if she were alive. And he's like, he had to look at himself honestly and say, yeah, you know, I think you're right. And I'm like, okay, I did it too. When my husband died, I totally said yes to things and we went on more trips and did all the fun stuff because I wanted so badly to add joy back into our lives. And I'm like, okay, but did that season end? And are we there yet? And he did. He like realized that, you know, okay, he wasn't the only one. I owned it too, right? And maybe that season needed to end so we could create a new family structure and routine that worked for both of us. So I didn't keep it quiet. I said it. Yeah. I said all the things.
Yeah. Oh, no. You have to say all the things sure in your first couple of years. Yeah. But then, you know, 18 years in, I'm letting a lot go now. Like,
oh, for sure. Ah,
yeah. Whatever. Like what? Like, just yeah, give me an example. I'd love to know like a point where you're like, I don't like how he is parenting, but I don't want it to negatively affect our marriage. So like walk us through like a scenario.
Oh gosh, that's a good question. I mean, I do love Brittany's example of screen time. When phones first started coming out, I was like, kids are not getting phones until they're 16. Like, no way. I'm not giving an iPhone to a little kid. And my husband's all about technology. I also think, too, for husband's wife, for our marriage anyway, that I'm preventative and he's triage. Like, I'm like, no, let's not. I don't. And he's like, let's just see what happens. And then we'll bandage it up. So I learned that about our marriage. Yeah. I'm for sure preventative. And I think when it came to that, he and I had this idea, we talked about it, where phones are shut off at 10 p.m. That's the rule. Hand in your phones, go to bed. Well, the oldest didn't like that. And so she had a fit about it. And then he's like, yeah, it doesn't really matter. Whatever. And I was like, it does matter. We had a conversation about this. We decided at 10 o'clock, phones, like, done. And he and I discussed it. And it just, for him, again, it just wasn't worth the fight. And we were in it like 5 years now of marriage. And so I had to let it go. She turned out fine. I love that you said that, Brittany. She actually turned out fine. And she's a lawyer now. You know, she's such a great human being. And then when our little ones that we had together are now teenagers, now we're doing the rules. It's really interesting. Now the phones do shut off at 10 p.m. And so I think just little things like that. Again, life is not on the line, so I can just go, whatever. You know what? It's not, because again, it goes back to this idea that I don't want to be the bad guy. I don't want these kids that I've married into to only have a memory of me being the heavy. It's just not worth it. And I know I don't need them to be my best friend, but I also don't need them to look back on their childhood and think that I was so mean. And so it's worth preserving the relationship, I think, over the rule sometimes. And I don't know, Brittany, you're shaking your head. Yes, that validates me.
Because
I don't know if I'm getting it right. But
I love it.
Yeah, I feel like preserving the relationship is way more important than some of these little rules that we get hung up on because we want to be right and we want to be the parent. But because at the end of the day, it's about my spouse and I. I love my husband. Like, he's the best. Love him. And that's just one part I don't like about him, so it's worth letting go.
I appreciate you being so honest about that, because I think that is a conversation that often gets overlooked about how it can bring you closer together as a married couple, or how it can drive a wedge of resentment.
Yeah. And it can.
And so I would love to hear more about how we can use these kinds of moments that get our attention, those sort of cringe moments that get our attention, and how we can work through them to actually strengthen the marriage. You know, I'm interested in that.
So I wanted to say to Liz too, Liz, I don't actually think you were disagreeing with what we were saying when you brought, brought up what you did about the Disneyland parent, because I actually really totally agree that there are things with your example, that's not more of like, that's less of a parenting thing, but more of like, we need to be aligned on this. Mm-hmm. And that does come down to values. Like, do we value that our kids are independent or that they are learning these things? And if that's clashing with the values that I'm always saying yes, or I'm being like overly kind, or, you know, overly giving because I feel guilt, then that does compete with a value. So that's a marriage thing, right? That's less of a personal preference, but more of like, we're not aligned in our marriage. So how do you do that? How do we strengthen the marriage there? It really is like we're having hard conversations in a kind way. So we're like not in that conflict cycle. There's a way to do it that's productive, and then there's a way to have conversations that's definitely not productive. And I think that's where most of us get stuck. Yeah. That will harm your marriage. But if you're having conversations the right way, it actually strengthens your marriage after you have hard conversation. It's actually one of the most beautiful things. I didn't know it was a thing until we started getting out of that conflict cycle and found like this beautiful groove.
I feel like you have articulated very beautifully that the art of conversation can really be the way to strengthen your marriage. And it's not dependent on your different rules and parenting styles. But what it does help to clarify is your shared values.
Yeah.
And how great part of that art of that conversation is being able to come together and say, well, what are the values that we have together as this new family, as we're creating this together? And it's exciting to create something with someone else. I think that's like one of the big draws to marriage, right? Like you can create something together that you couldn't do on your own. And part of having those conversations, those are bids for connection, right? These friction points of like, oh, I don't like how you do that, or I don't agree with that. It is just an opportunity to have one of those conversations. What have you found as you've had these kinds of conversations that have really worked to get you to figure out your values? Are there certain phrases that you've used, or is there certain topics that help you guys like be able to discover the shared values that you have with your spouses?
I think my word for like getting married that first year was get curious, right? Like curiosity and like understanding where my partner was coming from, and try not to get offended when like previous history was brought up in order for him to articulate or express where he's coming from. 'Cause it can build you guys up and make you guys stronger. But like when I first started blending families, I think someone told me that you have to have really thick skin, and I didn't understand what that meant. And now that I'm like in it, I'm like, oh, now I understand, because everything that a regular family goes through, like points of contention, relationships, a blended family gets plus added layers. And so I'm like, oh, this is why you have to have thick skin, because you are going to talk about previous history. You are going to talk about like all sorts of other dynamics that make up this person. And if you are getting curious, you're going to have to like put on your armor and not make it about you, but try to understand them so you can find those shared values. It's hard. It is hard because I'm human and I have feelings, and sometimes they get hurt.
Well, and we're all like that, right? And I think,
I like how Brittany said that you both have to be on the same playing field. Like you both have to be united, because when we were going to therapy another time for our daughter, I remember the therapist would consistently say, you and your husband have got to be aligned. Like you have got to be the forefront here. And then you work together with the child. And I was like, oh, we're totally aligned. Like, we're thick. I mean, we're good that way, you know? Like,
Don't even worry.
Yeah, we're great. And she goes, yeah, but every time you guys come in for therapy with your daughter, every time you bring her into therapy, the stories that I'm hearing are she and him are aligned and you're over here. And I was like, oh, okay, then how do we, and she just kept saying that every time we met, you and your husband, you have got to be on the same page, aligned, and then she reports to both of you. And it took us a long time to figure that out and that was probably, I would say, our biggest fight in our entire marriage was when it finally just blew up and we weren't aligned, because one of the things she was doing was she just didn't want to go to church anymore. This is a good story, Lisa, you'll love this. So she was 16, and she didn't want to go to church anymore. And so she's going to stand her ground, and I'm not going to church. Blah. Okay, all right, whatever. And so we went to the therapist, who is not a member of our faith. And I explained the situation to her, and she said, okay, well, let me ask you this. Is it something you do as a family? And we were like, yeah, we all go as a family to church. It's what we do. And she said, well, okay, is she allowed to opt out of other family events? And we're like, not really. And she said, does she choose to opt out of family events? And we said, no, because she loves family. She loves doing everything. She doesn't like to be alone. And the therapist said, then she goes to church. If it's a family thing, you go as a family. She doesn't get to opt out of it. So I was like, okay. So we came up with these rules and she came up with these consequences and choices and reward behavior, all that stuff that therapists do. It's awesome. And we go to church a couple Sundays. And then one Sunday she decides she just doesn't want to go. And so she, in the middle of one of the meetings we were having, she's like, I'm sick. Dad, take me home. And he took her home. And I flipped out. Because the therapist said, the moment you give in, it's like a gambler mentality, and they will keep putting coins in that slot until they win again. So if you two are not aligned on the same rule that, no, you stay at church, then she will put quarters into that slot machine until you give in again, and it's going to be the biggest uphill battle. And when she put the coin in the slot machine that Sunday and he took her home, I lost it. And I just came in and I freaked out. And I'm not a yeller, and I am like yelling at the top of my lungs. It was bad. I'm not real proud of it, but it probably needed to happen because I just said, we're not aligned. This is what the therapist is talking about. Like, you and I have to be the united front. We are together on this. And I said, if it's frustrating because I came in as the mom and I'm going to fix everybody. And the mom job, I guess, is to take kids to therapy while dad goes to work. Well, everyone out there, just do learn from my poor mistake. Don't be the mom. It's not your job to do that. You go to therapy as a family. Like all three of us should have been there every week. But I'm like, oh no, he works. So I'll take the kids to blah. So he never got to hear. He didn't have the benefit of hearing an hour's worth of stuff for the last 4 months. He only heard what I brought back to the table. And so we had to get caught up. And that was one of the biggest things for us in our marriage was, okay. And then we go to therapy. Well, we did. We would go together, or he would take her and I wouldn't go. And so we started to share in that responsibility. That's how we kind of became a united front too. So there's an example of big fight with rules.
Big example.
And yeah, and it turned out.
How did that turn out? It turned out.
It did. It turned out. I think he realized, oh yeah, I haven't really been that as engaged. And I realized I haven't let him.
It was because it wasn't about church, right? It's about all these other family rules and values. Yeah.
Yes, it's about establishing like what our shared values are.
Yeah. And like the hierarchy of the home. Like, this is a relationship and the relationship comes first. Like, it's not about the church. It's about establishing the rules and that hierarchy.
Yep. And once we did that, she knew where we stood, and we have not had issues since. Like, we are a united front, and it's not perfect. There's still moments where we're not united. There's still fractures in that, but we can go back to that moment and realize, okay, we just need a tweak here and there.
Yeah, I love that idea of bringing together on a united front is something that you can do, and that's something that you can control within your marriage, and it can strengthen your marriage.
Yeah.
When you're not going to be united, like the children are just like...
Oh, they're picking,
at your marriage.
Every single one of them. The more you have, the more they pushed. Oh,
yeah, and you don't have to be united on everything at all. Like, there are still things we don't agree, but that's just parenting 101. That has nothing to do with being in a blended family.
Right.
Not everybody agrees with how to do the kids. You just don't want to be the bad guy. That's, blah.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Having a villain, a scapegoat,
Nope.
It's such an interesting idea of, like, saying and wanting to maintain a healthy relationship while you're also juggling other relationships that are new. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be like the general theme of this question and what you guys are talking about. I'd love to know what things that you have found related to parenting or not related to parenting that have helped you maintain a healthy relationship with your spouse as you've blended a family.
I think it's so important to date each other. You know, and to continue doing that and having fun together. Like, this, what's really cool about like a second or third, you know, this is a love that you chose and one that is so exciting that you get to explore. Like, you get all those fun, giddy, I'm falling in love with you feelings all over again, right? And you just get to invest in that. So it's exciting. And it's like, keep that excitement alive even with all the chaos. Like, laugh about the chaos. Like, all these things can be bonding moments and opportunities if you want it to be. I mean, they make for really good comedy reels, I'm pretty sure. Tammy could tell us all about that.
Yeah. Brittany, what do you think?
I would 100% agree with Liz that this marriage is actually the newest relationship in the family, because the parent with their child, that's been going on for a while, right? However long the kid's been alive. But your relationship with your partner is really fresh, and it is also what's holding your family together. So if it's not really strong foundation, the whole family unit will literally crumble. So big red flag for me is, like, if I don't feel like we are partners, like we really like to be together, if we're feeling like we're against each other, then we really need to put some intense, intentional work in that area. So having fun, I think, is huge. If you can't go on date nights once a week, like, that would be ideal. But if you can't do that, you better be having, like, some alone time and, like, laughing your brains out together, like, or just having a good time, being very, very thoughtful about how you're spending your time together. That it's not just about the kids. We're not talking about the problems all the time. We're not just roommates or business partners, that we are, like, lovers, right? We love being together.
Yeah. Sense of humor is everything. I remember I had been married for about a year. I'd already given birth because I was 35 when we got married. I didn't know if I'd be able to have kids. Turns out I could. So 9 months later, I have a baby and I'm in the thick of it. I had to discipline the oldest for something, and it was just awful. And I'm walking her to a room for her time out. And in therapy, we learned for girls, you can't meet emotion with emotion. So that's free for all of you. It cost me a $40 copay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we get her to the room and she yells, "I hate you." And she slams the door and opens it back up and says, "And I always will," and slams it again. So I put the baby down for a nap and I went into my bed, into my room, and then into my closet. And I just start sobbing in my closet because I realize I've made the biggest mistake of my life. Like, that was it for me. That was my breaking point. And I'm crying so hard and I'm praying and I'm just like, I'm out. I'm done. Like, I'm leaving this marriage. I am a terrible mom. These kids hate me. I don't have what it takes to do this. What was I thinking? I'm an idiot. Everything. And, you know, I'm looking around in my closet. How fast can I pack? And I have a little bit left in my savings. I bought a home and I hadn't sold my house yet. So I remember crying,
going, escape plan is real.
Yeah. Oh, it's real. The escape plan is real, right? I'm like, I just want to go home. I want to sleep in my bed by myself, watch TV whenever I want. I mean, I know I have a newborn. I'll figure it out. But, like, I'm not kidding. I went from zero to moving out in seconds. And my husband came home and he asked the girls where I was, and they're like, "She's in her closet, weirdo." So he comes into the closet. He sees me laying on the floor crying, mascara everywhere. And he's like, "What's going on?" And I just look up at him and I stand up and I just said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm out. This is harder than I ever thought it would be. And the girls hate me and I don't like being a mom. And I just don't like it. Like, it's super duper hard. And I'm sorry. I probably gaslit you," the whole thing. Like, "I'm really sorry that I said yes, because I'm saying no." And I'm crying so hard. And he looks at me and he puts his hand out and shakes my hand and says, "Well, I want to thank you for giving it a shot." And I looked at him and I laughed so hard and he laughed and I'm like, "This is so hard. These kids, they don't like me." And he's like, "I know they don't, but you know what? We don't like them either. So it's fine." "They're the worst." And I'm like, "They are the worst." So, you know, he just hugged me. He's like, "We're going to do this. It's going to be so hard, but it's going to be so great. So just hang in there. Don't leave me." And I was like, "Okay, can we go out tonight?" "Yeah. You want to cook dinner?" He's like, "You bet. We'll go to Chick-fil-A." So just like that kind of thing, just laughing about it. And at that moment, I realized I got to stop taking myself so seriously. Like, it's all going to work out. I've been so dramatic about this because it didn't turn out like I thought it would. Whatever. It's fine.
What a great perspective for him to offer. Yeah. What a great example of an opportunity that could have gone so many ways.
Oh.
And he chose in that moment
to
just and he bet down on the right.
He did.
the right path.
He didn't coddle me or anything. He's like, well, actually, he said a swear word in there, which is even funnier, but because it's a family show.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for giving it a blank shot. So anyway, it was funny.
Wow. Oh, I love that. Thank you, you guys, for being so honest and real about answering a hard question that, you know, a lot of people are just, you know, am I normal? Am I like, am I going to make it? Is it, am I doing something wrong? To be able to come together as women and to say, here's why it's hard for me. Here's the flavor of the difficulty for me is really generous. So Brittany, Liz, and Tammy, thank you so much. And thank you for listening to the Council of Moms. Please check us out on YouTube. Please follow us and send this episode to someone who you feel like needs it. Somebody, even if they haven't said that they need it, you can send it to them and be like, I don't know what, I just thought maybe you'd like this, maybe not, whatever, and send it to that person. Thank you for being here.